Okay, so doing Lashkafa today. Okay, so the Gemara, it's in Agadita. It's the Gemara right after ours. It's on Kothlamigal and Aleph. It's like 10 lines from the bottom. Dikra is the last row of the line. Pashta Dikra v'maiksev. Okay, let's start. So the Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk, which says, the Pasuk says that if you, like wearing a holy garment, right, a garment with holes, a worn out garment on a cold day, just like that doesn't help, and just like putting vinegar in a balm doesn't ruin the balm, so too is teaching Torah to someone who's who has a bad mind or something like that, someone who doesn't get it. So it says, what's it really talking about? So it says, pshat in the pasuk is b'shona l'talmud shein hagun. It's talking about if you teach a talmud who's not hagun, who's not good, he's not proper, it's not a proper talmud. Okay, so there's a Rashi somewhere. It says it means someone who's like he's not keeping the thing.
It's like teacher,
what?
Character.
His character. He has bad character. Like he doesn't care about the halacha. Like he's not keeping the halacha. It's not proper. Like he's not interested in the. In keeping, like he's a Navarian, basically. He's a Navarian. Okay? So it says, so the Amar Yudam Arav, Kol HaShonel Talmud Sheino No Hagun, anyone who teaches Torah to Talmud is not Hagun, Nofel Beganim. He falls in Ganim. Okay? It's bad. Not the Talmud, you, who teach them. Shenemar kol choshech tamal letzvunav tocholeho eish lo nofach yera sered ba'ala. Vein sered al tocha tamal chacham. So it's talking about, I don't know, the fire is going to eat the person and the tamal chacham is going to fall into it. Shenemar ubesridim asher Hashem korei. Okay, so however it means that. I don't know exactly the limud, but it says, lo misha yera sered ba'ala. Also saying it's tamal chacham, Rashi says, so it means someone who allows a Talmud Ra in his tent is going to get burned up by a fire. The Eish of Gehenna is going to get him. Okay, so you're not allowed to let a bad Talmud in your tent of Torah, and if you do, then you're going to fall in Gehenna. So it's very bad. Right? And then Amar of Zeru Amarav, call a Shonal Talmud Sheino Hagun. Anyone who teaches a Talmud is not proper, Kizorik Evan Lamarkolis. It's like throwing a rock to Marcolus. Marcolus was one of the Navodah Zarah that they used to serve. It was a rock god. I don't know, whatever. I think they say it's Mercury, but they had these piles of rocks, like a triangle, I think, or something like that. And you'd throw rocks at it, pelt rocks at it. That was the way you'd serve it. Yeah? So they used to do
that. Engaging that way to serve.
Yes, that was Navodah Zarah. So what it's saying is, if you teach the Talmud of the Shein Hagun, it's like you're worshipping, it's like you're throwing rocks at Mercury, at Marcolus. Shenemar kitzror even b'margama kein nosin k'sil l'k'sil kavod. So it's like throwing an even in margama, it's like so too is giving a k'sil, a full kavod. B'chsev lo novel k'sil tainug. Okay, so that's a different point. So the saying is, it's like Rashi says, k'zor k'evel markolos zui avodoso, that's the way you serve a markolos, by throwing a rock in it. So it's kind of strange. So it sounds pretty bad. Sounds pretty bad. So teaching a Talmud and a Shein Hagun is basically two things. You're basically going to go to Gehenim. You're going to get burned by the fire of Gehenim, whatever. Are you falling Gehenim? And secondly, it's like throwing a rock to my colors. Okay? Doesn't sound like a good idea. Right? So the Rambam, let's see the Rambam. Rambam brings it down. Says this is in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet. It says, "Ein melamdim divrei Torah el Talmud Hagan, not a b'maisav." So he's not allowed to teach Torah, but to a Talmud Hagan, who is pleasant in his actions. So it means in his actions. Talmud Hagan means he acts properly. Olatam, or to just a simple regular guy. Okay, so he could be excellent or normal. Okay. Aval imhaya holich v'derech latova. But if he's going on a bad route, because he doesn't have to be great, he just has to be regular or good. But if he's bad, he's going on a bad route, machzir noso lemuta, if you bring him back to the good, umanhigin oso v'derech yishara, and you try to bring him, direct him back on a straight path, Ubod kimoso, and then you test him to make sure he actually is on the right path. And then you could bring him to the base medrash and teach him. So you could advise him and give him musar or whatever it is, but you can't let him in the base medrash. You can't teach him Torah. You could direct him, advise him, try to bring him on a good path, to get him to do tshuva, make sure he did tshuva, make sure he's on a good path, then you can bring him to the base medrash. But before that, you can't bring him in. Amru chacham, kol hashon al tam sheino hagun. Anyone who teaches a tam which is not hagun, kilu zorek emel maikolas. Shemar kitzor even b'marikam akenos in l'ksil kavod. Vein kavod al Torah. So if you give a ksil kavod, which is kavod means Torah, that's bad. Shemar kavod chacham yinchal. So kavod means Torah, so it says you can't give kavod to a ksil, he's a fool. You can't give him kavod, kavod means Torah. Okay, right? And I'll read further. Interesting. Also, if the Rav is going in a bad path, the Rebbe, afal pisha chacham gadol hu, even though he's great chacham, the chalham shrichem though, and everyone needs his Torah, right? He's the biggest talmud chacham around. Ein mislam de mimenu, achad yachshu lemutav. You can't learn from him until he's straightened out. Okay. Shneimar ki sifse kohen yishmeru das, because the lips of a kohen guard knowledge, with Torah yivakshu mipihu, and he should seek out Torah from his lips, ki malach Hashem tzvakosu, because he's a malach Hashem. Amru chachamim, dome harav, the malach Hashem tzvakos, if your rav is similar to you like a malach Hashem, means he's pure, he's proper, he follows Torah, like a truly representing God, then Torah yivakshu mipihu. Then you should seek out Torah from his mouth. So lav, al yivakshu mipihu. If not. So if he doesn't, if he's not pure like a Malach Hashem, if he doesn't really represent the messenger of God, means he's, you know, he violates the Torah, he's not in line with the Torah, he's not like in your eyes like a Malach Hashem, then you can't learn from him. Even though he's a great Talmud Chacham and he can teach you Torah and he knows really how to teach and he's a great Rebbe and he has solid ideas and whatever, he still can't do it. So yeah. I mean, that kind of makes sense. I mean, you don't want to learn from a bad guy. I mean, if he's going to be corrupt, then he could rub off on you and whatever. He could influence you. And if he has a chatayim, you tend to see that. I mean, I would think is that, like, the problem is that when you ask someone a shayla, you learn from him, so he becomes your authority. And there's an idea, is like you identify with your authority and you learn from your authority and you look to him as your moral compass. So insofar as you look up to him and you feel like he's the guy, he's your guide, so then you're prone to falling into the hizchatayim. It's okay. If the Rav does it, I mean, after all, I still would be better than my Rabbi. So once you know that he's corrupt, then it's true that you may get fact and knowledge and get derech and get anything from him, but you're also going to get corruption from him, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it. The knowledge isn't worth it. It's going to rub off on you. I think that's, I mean, there may be other pshatim, but there may be other ideas, but that's certainly one dangerous thing. I could see that. You don't want to, you just can't, it's not worth it. But what about, what I'm more interested, in now is this thing about teaching a Talmud Sheino Hagen. What's so bad about teaching a Talmud Sheino Hagen?
We're also not really knowing this now, right?
I don't know. It's a good question. Are we knowing this now? No, it doesn't seem like we really do. It doesn't seem like it. And I never heard of any Rav like really throwing someone out and saying, I'm not teaching you because you're not from, or you're not really, you know, that Shomer or Halacha or something like that. I've never heard of that. Doesn't seem so. Anyways, he's like an Avarian. He's known Avarian. He's going, you know, he's not that Shomer or Halacha. He's kind of lax about keeping the Torah. But he wants to learn. So he says, look, sorry, buddy. Can't come into this matter. Let me first give you some muscle. Let me first explain to you why this is wrong and whatever. And then after that, if he really changes his way, then he starts acting properly, then you teach him. But before that, you know. It seems to me that it's talking about someone who's, whereas if he doesn't know that it's true, I mean, you have to teach him that it's enough knowledge to know that he should keep the Torah. So then, of course, they have to teach him that. Because otherwise, why is he supposed to abandon it? So, I mean, if he doesn't know, he's about Shuvah and he just brought up and he doesn't know anything, so what are you going to do? You never teach him, he's never going to, why is he going to keep it? So you have to show him enough to be able to teach him that, you know? But I'm assuming, so it's like circular, so how are you going to ever teach it? How's he ever going to, why should he ever accept it? So I'm assuming it's talking about someone who knows the Torah, but he's an Avarian. It's not like he knows it's true. He knows enough about the Torah, but he just doesn't care.
So is it
he just wants to learn or whatever, but he doesn't care about keeping halacha. He's lax about it.
So it's more like his...
But Rashi on the Mishlei, Pasuk and Mishlei, it's Chav Hei Chav. He says, what does it mean, a Talmud? It says, they teach Torah to a Talmud Rasha. He says, a Talmud Rasha, asher ein b'libo l'kayma. So it means he has no intent of being a kayma, of keeping the Torah. He's teaching him Torah, but he doesn't really intend to keep it. So he's teaching him halachas or something, and he's just not interested in keeping it, something like that. You know, he doesn't have an intent to keep it, but he wants to know. So it says, that guy, this, he can't teach Torah. That's his kid. This is the pasuk. The other pasuk Mishlei kit. This one the Rambam brings in. Kitzur Evan b'margema kainos and sil kavod. He who gives a full honor to a fool is as binding a stone in a slingshot. Binding a stone in a slingshot. It's some of the little skaim hisham. It's like you're tying it up in a slingshot. It's not going to accomplish anything. Kitzur Evan the Makolas. So it's like a waste, I guess. Right, so you tie it in a slingshot. What are you doing? The whole idea of throwing a slingshot is to be thrown, not to keep, not to throw it. Not to bind it there, tie it into the slingshot. That's, you're ruining what the stone is for. So the whole point is to be thrown. So I know, it's kind of a funny analogy. So too, it's like if you give a seal cover, it's not going to last. I'm saying this because it's not going to last. I mean, you tie it, it's like you bind, it's like if you bind it into the slingshot, it's like it's gonna end up coming out because you're gonna sling it out. So it's not silly. What are you doing? You're just wasting time and energy. You're just gonna tie it in, but it's about to fall out. You're about to shoot it. So two, giving seal kavod, it's not gonna last. He's a fool, and I guess you give him Torah, or you give him, it's just gonna fall out of him. You're not gonna accomplish anything. Because I'll say it's like throwing an Evan, it's like throwing a stone to my colors. Because it's a drash. I guess it's a drash. Right? But the Rambam brings it down, right? He says it's like my colors. It's like throwing a stone to my colors. So it's right? Not literally talking about throwing a stone to my colors. Literally talking about someone who's binding a rock in a slingshot or whatever. Because you're going to give honor to a fool, he's going to quickly embarrass himself through his stupidity. So what are you doing? You give him honor to make him, bring him up, give him kavod, but he's only going to last for 2 minutes. He's going to, you know, he's going to look like a fool in 2 minutes because that's what he does. He looks like a fool. So it's like tying the thing in a slingshot. It's, what are you doing? You're going to tie it in there. It's about to fly out. It's not accomplishing anything. That's the pshat of the pasuk. But they're saying somehow drash is a different thing. So if you give him kavod, what does it mean kavod? Kavod means Torah. So if you give him Torah, it's like throwing a rock at Marcolus. It's not clear what that has to do with that. But what's the idea anyways? How is it like about Zara? I mean, one thing to say it's like Ahanim, whatever. Ahanim could be general. It's bad. Something bad about it. So you could almost say anything, you know, whatever. But it doesn't really seem to be like a Avodah Zarah. I was like, Avodah Zarah, I'm like throwing a rock at my kolos. I mean, Avodah Zarah, I'm just teaching a Talmud Shein Hagam. It's not really Avodah Zarah. It may just be its peg or something. Whatever. What's so bad? I don't know, it just sounds like making it into this terrible thing. It just wouldn't seem like so bad. See, I'll show you what the Marsha says. It's kind of interesting. He wants to explain the Makolos part a little bit. So he says, "Adimyon bezekia Torah nimshal alavin yikara." He says the Torah is like a rock, a precious rock, a precious stone. Yitzhara asher v'talmish einu hogun who nikra evin michshal. So the Yitzhara is like called a stumbling rock, stumbling stone. Evin Markolis, like that would be like a bad rock. Amar kia zorik evin l'markolis, saying it's someone who throws an evin to Markolis. It's not talking about someone who's worshipping Markolis. It's talking about someone who's trying to be a mevaza of Markolis. So what do? You throw a rock at it. You're trying to be a mevaza of the thing by throwing a rock at it. But he knew most of covered all that. Kivon devil dosmekach. That is the throw of the service. So you're trying to be mevaza, but it turns out you're really giving it great honor because that's the way they serve it. V'nasa gam ha'evan hazeh, evan shikot. Avod zara. So you're throwing something at it to be invasive. On the contrary, you're making it worse. Right? You're making it worse. So kein shomer Torah, she'evan yikara, le'ino hagan. So too, if you teach Torah, which is a precious stone, to someone who's in a hagan, you mosif avni milchshobo. You're going to give him a further stumbling blocks. You're making it worse. She'ino lomdo tachlis v'kaman ara, because he's learning for a bad reason. So you teach someone Torah Lashma, it's like worse, it's better that you weren't created. So he's saying is like this guy learns Torah wrong. So he's saying it's like Marcolis. It doesn't mean it's like you're doing Avodah Zarah. But he means just like a guy who's doing throwing a rock at Marcolis in order to embarrass it, he's really making it, giving it kavod. So he's doing exactly the opposite of what he's trying to accomplish. So he's saying is similarly, if a person teaches Torah to a guy who's bad, he's trying to somehow help the situation, and it turns out he's hurting it. Right? That's what we have to figure out, though, how he's hurting it. But you know what I mean? That's the main point. Is he's shifting it away from saying is that you're actually doing Avodah Zarah to saying is he means that he's showing you this like a counterproductive type of a thing. Is you're accomplishing the opposite of what you're attempting to accomplish. The Rosh is saying that's why he chose it. It didn't just say, it could have just said, like, Avodah Zarah, why did choose my colors? So his point is, and Rashi says that, Chizui Avodasa. So it means you're throwing a rock to the Bimvaza. That's why he's choosing it. He's choosing it as an example of something where you're doing what they're doing, even though you're attempting to really do the opposite. You're actually making it worse. So too, teaching Tom Shein Hogun, you think you're trying to help and whatever, somehow, and this is where the fill in the blank. You think you're trying to help the situation, teach him Torah. It turns out it's bad. It's bad. It's the opposite, or something like that. Right, but the problem is, so I think that's a good opening. But now the question is, so what is wrong? What is wrong with it? Okay, the question: why not say, look, he's like a lishma guy or whatever. Obviously, he's not a genuine person. But look, a person should learn lishma, and you come about the lishma, you teach him the Torah, and that will help him. I mean, usually that's the approach. What do you mean? Why you withhold the guy from Torah? Torah is true. It should move him towards the Torah. Why are we holding it back? Let me say this. A person should always learn Lashma, because until Shalashma, Ba Lashma. A person should learn, and learning leads a person to actions. As it says, Tama, you know, the Tama Mevedeh Maisa. So through learning, you come to actions. So why not say this is the same guy, same thing. This guy's whatever, you know, Hagen. But what do you want me to do? I'll teach him Torah, and then he'll come to it. I mean, what's the point of withholding it from him? I mean, how am I supposed to get through to the guy? So I sit down with him and have some shmoozes with him. It sounds like I'm told to do that. Yeah, but why not just teach him Torah? Why not also teach him Torah? Why is there this, like, you know, this entry, you know, close the doors, don't let him in until he's already done the tshuva? I mean, shouldn't the Torah itself help him? Isn't that part of the process? Practical pshat difference is, lo lishma guy has a bad motivation. He's motivated by something other than truth. This is a teacher, and slowly he'll become motivated by truth. He'll see more truth, he'll become motivated by it. But this is a guy, it's not that he has a bad motivation. He's going against the Torah. He's violating the Torah. It's not that he has a bad motivation. He's not keeping the Torah. He's an avarian. So the thing is, that guy, you don't. You have to explain why, but practically they're very different. You have to explain why that matters. Why not say even that guy, teach him Torah and Tosh Shema? It's not a problem that he's not Lo Shema, though. It's a problem that he's not keeping the Torah. Lo Shema means you're keeping it for a different motivation. This means you're not keeping it. Now, so we have a few thoughts here. I don't remember who said it. You all said a bunch of things. So one thing is, you're saying, is that he's a guy, he's basically learns Torah. He wants to learn. He's interested in mental activity or whatever, but he's not keeping it. So he's saying one thing is that that guy, by letting him in the base medrash, you're endorsing this as a legitimate, that was what you said, right? And endorsing it as a legitimate approach. You want to learn Torah? Great, learn Torah. It's like open, we're not judging. Look, you want to learn whatever, when I look the other way, this is legitimate. But you can't legitimize that, because that's corrupt, and it's anti the Torah. The Torah is der chaim, and Torah isn't optional. And by you teaching him, you're bringing him into the base medrash, and the base medrash is people who represent Torah, and people learn from the people who represent Torah, and they're making this a legitimate path. Just someone, you want to learn Torah just for fun, but you don't care about halacha. So you say, no, Torah is about truth, and if Torah is a derech of living, and if you're not interested in living, you just want to have the fun or whatever, then you're going to distort give a distorted view of what the Torah, and you're going to lead people astray. Because he's a representative of the Torah. People see that. They think this is a legitimate path in Torah. So it's like a machalal idea of the Torah. It's going to lead people to have down a bad path. Right? So but then I'll ask you, so you say, but in terms of him, I'll say, so yeah, but would it be better in terms of him? Like, let's say you would teach him. Like, this is like science saying, like, you can't do it because it's going to hurt other people. People are going to get the wrong idea. But what about in terms of him? Would it help him because maybe he'll end up coming to Lishma? Or he'll end up teaching him Torah and then it will end up benefiting him? You're giving him the feeling that it's legitimate. I mean, by you teaching, even by letting him do it, you're saying to him, that's okay. It's okay. But when you say, look, I'm saying, look, at least I'll teach him Torah, and then he'll realize it's not okay. But how, if he doesn't realize, you know. But you mean it's not true. I'm saying, you talk to him, you give him muster, and that's what you do. Now, you want to learn Torah, you're not ready to learn Torah, buddy. This isn't, Torah is the truth, and you first you have to realize, come around to it, and then later you learn Torah. But right now, you're not fit. Even though, by showing him the Torah, and the Chochmah's Torah, and whatever, maybe he'd come around. No. It's not going to work. Okay, so that's another thing. So another idea is, as Daniel was saying, is that it's like a bizayon haTorah. So what we were saying is, why is this guy doing it? So this guy's doing it because he enjoys the mental stimulation of learning. Like the story of the guy who's a Talmud of Reb Chaim, when he's totally anti-religious, but he was learning Torah anyways because Reb Chaim taught him and he loved it. So his idea is a guy could learn Torah because it's fun and the mental stimulation, even though he doesn't keep it, he's not interested. So the thing is, that's a design of Torah. Because the Torah is a system of truth. And it's not meant to just give you emotional, intellectual enjoyment. So you're taking the Torah, which is truth, and it's a derech uchaya of living your life, and you're basically saying, I don't really think it's true. But I just want to use it as a tool to give me intellectual pleasure. So it would be like a guy who would take the Torah, Sefer Torah, and block the sun with it, or use it as a clothing and wrap himself up to keep him warm. So, I mean, he's just taking the thing. It's not what it is. It's not just, I mean, it's true. Implicit in Torah being true, it will give you intellectual enjoyment. But that's part of the truth of the thing. Now, if you're saying is I have nothing to do with what there really is as being truth, and I just want to use it as like I can use chess or mathematics or whatever, so it cheapens the Torah, makes it into something which is just a mental stimulant. It's nothing to do with the truth of the thing. So then he's saying that's like a being vaz of the Torah. That's why there's halacha. You're not allowed to teach a guy Torah. So what's a guy learning Torah? If it's practical for him, fine. But otherwise, you're just making it into like a mental exercise. But he has no right to do that. You can't make the Torah into that. The Torah is you're learning Torah because it's true and it's helping you insofar as your attachment to truth. So if you just you're curious to hear interesting ideas, that's not what Torah is, and it cheapens the Torah and it's a design of Torah. So you could say, look, and maybe the guy's interested and he wants to and whatever, but it's just a design of Torah. It's a little different than the fact that it's going to endorse. The first thing is like it's going to endorse a certain attitude, and that's going to lead people to do it. You know, this is a thing. Forget about other people. It just intrinsically it's a design of Torah. It's using the Torah improperly, right? It's a little bit of a different idea, right? The first one is more of an idea. It's like a means. It's like it's. Really, in terms of him, maybe it would be good, but it's going to affect other people. They're going to see it as bad. This is saying is like, it's intrinsically a bad activity. Because intrinsically, you're degrading the Torah. You're making the Torah, you're being vaza of the Torah. It's not just because it's going to have an impact on other people. It's more of an intrinsic thing. They're both true. I don't think you say them both. But they're different. They're two different facets of the same problem. No, I think still, like you said, it doesn't fit into the Markolas. So even though Marsha is an interpretation of Markolas. Which is then the Rosh Hashanah saying is you are trying to do so. This way to fill in the blanks, but Rosh Hashanah learning means you are trying to help, and it turns out you're really like making it worse, right? So that's kind of what it sounds like by Markolas, right? You're trying to destroy the Markolas. It turns out you're having it because it's not working. It's not. It's like counterproductive. So these things don't exactly explain that, right? I mean, you could say the Ganim, I don't know, maybe you can be positive. These things could be like Ganim, because basically you're distorting the Torah, to be Zayin HaTorah, and you're leading people, you're legitimizing an approach, which is Kenegat HaTorah. So I could see saying in those, both of these things, I could see saying it's like the burning Adam or something. This is the Ganim is like the ultimate onesh, because the schar is ultimately for keep maintaining the Torah. And here, you are degrading the Torah and leading people into a proper improper idea. So that I hear. I mean, it's, you can say a lot of things for Ganim, but I'm saying they both fit in with that. But to say it's like Marcolis, first of all, none of these things have anything to do with the Zohar, like the direct shot. And if you go with Marsha, it doesn't exactly fit that either. What's it saying? You're trying to do X and you're really counterproductive, and then you have to fill that in also. So maybe just one further point is that, just to explain the Marcolis thing. You see, this guy, see, what you're doing is what you're saying is, look, he's a guy who's detached himself from the truth of Torah, right? He looks at Torah as intellectual stimulating, but he's like removed the truth value from it, right? Because otherwise, why how doesn't he not do it? Why doesn't he do it? So apparently he holds what's true is my taivas, is whatever I want to live. But I like the pleasure, the intellectual activity, right? So with that guy, you can't get him. You're trying to give him Torah. Show him the truth of the Torah. Show him the beauty of the Torah. Show him the ideas, right? But it can't work because he's detached it from truth. So yeah, he'll see the beauty of the Torah, but he already sees the beauty of the Torah. That's why he wants to learn. But he's already made a move that he's decided that he removed it from himself. So you're just going to play into his thing. You're just going to give him more of the thing, but you're not going to accomplish what you want to do. It's like, that's what I say, there's no kiyam. This guy, see a guy who's a little shema, it's just he has the wrong motivation. He's motivated by something other. But you'll show him the Torah, and he'll see the beauty of the Torah, and he'll see the truth of the Torah, and then he'll become motivated by its truth. But here's a guy who's already, he knows Torah is true. It's not talking about a guy who doesn't know. It's talking about a guy who's a chote. He's decided to be a chote. So it means he sees the Torah, he sees Torah. It's just that he's gone away from it, and he's decided that it's not true, and he's just looking at the Torah as intellectual stimulation. So now what are you going to do? You can show him beautiful ideas? Great. He's going to love that. Beautiful ideas. So, but he's already made a decision. This isn't a route. The route to get the guy is the Ram's route. Talk to him about his midos. Talk to him about his internal world. Talking to him about giving him Torah is just you think what you're trying to do is to show him the beauty of the Torah. You know, but it's really just furthering him in his thing. You're giving him pleasure. And this whole thing is he's attached to Torah because the pleasure he gets from it. So you're just gonna give him more of it. So good. So you're gonna further him. He loves it, he's gonna want to learn more. So it's not, but it's not, you're not addressing the problem. So it's similar to the guy of the Marcolis, is you're trying to be invasive of the thing, but you're really making the problem worse because you're giving him more stones. So you're feeding the fire. You're feeding the Marcolis. You're trying to undo it, but you're really feeding it. So the thing is here too, you're trying to undo the problem by showing him the beauty of the Torah, but you're really playing into the problem. Because the problem is that he's drawn to the Torah and he wants to learn Torah because he enjoys the activity and it gives him certain satisfactions. So you're just giving him more of it. On the contrary, you take the guy, frustrate him, say, sorry, you can't learn. You want to learn? Yeah, you want to, but you can't. It's not for you. That's the way. Then you talk to him, explain to him why, and then hopefully he'll bring to tshuva. But to just take that guy and say, okay, fine, I'll teach you Torah anyways. You want it, I'll give it to you. Fine, so you want to show him the beauty. That's not the route for this guy. For a guy who accepts the Torah and he's doing it, then yeah. Because when you show him the beauty of the Torah, he realizes, wow, that's much better than the kavod that I was looking for. That's awesome. That's great. It's truth, and a person naturally has a propensity. He's drawn by the truth. But this is a guy who's already seen that, and he's decided to ignore that, and he's decided to... And he decided not to keep the Torah. Means he's, and he still wants to learn. What kind of guy is that? It's a guy who sees the ideas, but he's deprived it of any truth value. So now he's just looking for the ideas. So then he's just going to play into his thing. So that pasuk is saying, is showing, the Marcolis one is just showing that it's counterproductive. It doesn't do anything. The Gehenim thing is talking about why it's bad, the evil in the thing. Because then that could be, this isn't saying why it's bad, it's just saying why it's counterproductive. But why it's bad, it could be because of these other two things. First of all, it's distorting the Torah, right? It's Vaza Bizayana Torah, because you're making it into something other than, you know, it's degrading it. just a tool of his pleasure. And also because he's going to be the Tzmichil Hashem, people are going to learn from him, and you're legitimizing that type of an approach. So both of those things are going to, you know, like the Gehenim thing. Rambam doesn't bring that part down. It's interesting. Right? It's interesting. But the Gemara has them both. I don't know whether Rambam leaves that part out. He just has this thing, it's like Zohar Kel Marcolus. Yeah. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's a different shot. Because it would seem you want to also say not just that it's counterproductive, but that it's actually bad. I mean, it could be also, it's like you're trying to help the Torah by teaching Torah, spreading Torah. But really, on the contrary, you're really harming it. Because you're giving a guy, I mean, that's another pshat. This is something that's not right. He was saying something like that. It's like, you're trying to spread the Torah, teach everybody the Torah. Turns out, you're really cheapening the Torah and giving a bad idea about Torah. Because now more people are going to know it, but now it's like by giving Torah out to everybody, you spread it out more, but you end up degrading it. That's in a certain sense. That's an interesting idea. It's like, you may think you want to get the Torah to be, you want the Torah to stick in the world. So what do? You want to spread it out. But the problem is that cheapens it, and now Torah becomes a thing that for everybody, there's Torah for you, Torah for you, Torah for you. And every guy represents Torah, but now you end up undermining what true Torah is. So the idea, if you want the Torah to be have kiyum in the world, give it, make it select, you know, give it to the select few who really could represent the Torah. And someone who can't represent Torah properly, don't let them have it. So it's by limiting who you allow into the pool, it's true, it gets less exposure, but the quality is a greater quality, and it will be a proper, better representation of Torah. That's a different idea, but it's also good. Different ideas here. You can think through that, you know. Yeah. Maybe that's Ram's idea. Who knows? It's hard to tell from Ram. Yeah, okay, good. Since he's intellectualizing the Torah in a way where it's not piercing through to his world, his emotional world, and it's real to him. He's just taking it as a intellectual game or whatever, you know. So it's like a puzzle. It's like a puzzle, and he enjoys the thinking about it, but he's not letting it enter his world. And it's ideas and it's intellectual so much about truth and reality. So he's closing off his mind when it turns to himself and his life, and he's putting a border up, and he's just enjoying the activity, but he's not willing to let down his guard and question his life. But that's the Torah is about. It's an army with ideas to help you be able to deal with your life and live a certain type of a life. So he's ignoring that. He's closing that off. Oneg Shabbos, let's say. Oneg Shabbos. The guy loves Shabbos because he gets to eat meals and have sex. So he says, that's great. I love Shabbos. It's perfect. He's missing. It's true that I isn't Shabbos. Isn't that part of Shabbos? Yeah, for a person who appreciates what Shabbos really is, as a component of it, he has these enjoyments. And it fits into the bigger picture of what Shabbos is. But if you just isolate that good and say, I love Shabbos because of that stuff, then you're missing what that's not Shabbos. So Torah, it's true. The true Torah life is a life of the enjoyment of following the truth. And it's the best thing for man. And part of that is the enjoyment of the learning and the intellectual stimulation and the learning. But it fits into the larger picture. But if you remove the truth from it and you just enjoy the pleasure of the learning as an intellectual activity, so then you're distorting what Torah is. So you're taking it a part of the Torah and you're making that everything, and you're saying, I'm not interested in anything else. So that's not the truth of Torah. The Torah is, it's not because the Torah isn't supposed to be good for you and it's just enjoy. You do enjoy it, but the enjoyment is because of the pursuit of the truth. And here he's just using it as for the mechanisms of the mind, the workings of the mind, forgetting about the truth value. I'd like to do next week, I think I'm doing a sugya about Chadash. It's kind of Shavuos related. So I think we're going to put Chulin on hold for a little bit. Sugya in Menachos. It's like I have to find exactly some Chas around, something like that. So it's about, it's Shavuos, Pesach, Omer. It's not exactly Shavuos, but whatever. It's in that ballpark. So I have to find exactly that for you. I think I have a meeting on Monday. Maybe I'll have to not do on Monday or start late on Monday, but whatever. Well, we'll be in touch.